music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Robin, and I am one of the the word I want to use, it does not start with S, so I don't know why I was making that sound. but I'm one of the folks on mic with you this morning. I've got Stella.
Hey everyone, I'm Stella.
And Logan.
Hi there.
And Stella and Logan are our Canada Summer Jobs Summer Staff new people, and we're going to have a conversation today about gender and gender expression, how it relates both personally and sort of socially or societally, and we'll see where that takes us. But I think we're all fairly excited to sort of jump into it and just, you know, bandy back and forth some ideas. As I like to do on the show, to just kind of get us in the mood and sit us down, we're going to hear a song. And out of the songs that the three of us brought, Stella, you say that yours is the sort of most chill. So we're going to start with yours. Do you want to introduce it for us and tell us what we're going to hear?
For sure. This song is Halfway Heart by Leanna Flores from her new album. And she's coming to Vancouver, actually, September 13th. And I already bought tickets after listening to this album, Flower of the Soul. So please enjoy. It's a little folky song to start your day off. Yeah.
Moon and sun, planetary pendulums, makes me think of
to go, well, love to go, well, love to go.
or is it just a hope to plow back into frozen ground till summer comes to be?
Leanna Flores with Flower of the Soul to start us off here on Intravenous. Thanks, Stella. That was really beautiful.
Yeah, she's a really good artist. I like her a lot.
I would have bought tickets too after having listened to that album. It's lovely. So as I mentioned in the sort of intro to the show, we're going to talk a little bit and maybe a bit about gender and gender self-expression. But first, we should kind of contextualize what the heck we're talking about when we use the word gender and what we mean. Who wants to start? Logan.
Yeah, I can go, no worries. So I feel like personally for me, how I understand gender, it's always a bit of a confusing subject, I feel, but you know, I've read a lot of texts and I think right now what speaks most to me would be a Judith Butler way of understanding it, in the sense that it's something that is enacted. It is something we continuously do. It's a sort of performance. You know what I mean? It's not a static thing, but it's completely socially formed, constructed, rehearsed, and it's very bodily, if that makes sense. And it's very much situated within this historical, cultural configuration of the time we're living. We can see, for example, how, you know, a few hundred years ago, being masculine meant, you know, wearing a white wig in Britain and doing so many different things, like even in Scotland, wearing a kilt. And now when you wear a skirt, it's considered completely non-masculine, you know? So this idea of gender and what is feminine, what is masculine, what exists on a binary is very specific to the cultural region, to the time itself. And that, in that way, we kind of present it, or I kind of present it, as something that is non-static, you know, that is ever fluid and that is fully separate from this like biological understanding that we usually adhere to when we talk about gender.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, especially with the idea of gender as performance in a way, especially when I think about my own relationship to my gender expression, I guess, especially with some aspects not being done for myself a lot of the time.
Yes, I feel
like it is done for other people a lot. I'm not sure if that goes for men and for women, and I think it does, but it's definitely a matter of trying to control how you're perceived. But as Logan was saying, it definitely is always changing and always evolving. So even just within our lifetimes, so it's kind of hard to find an exact way to express yourself.
Yeah, fully. And I find it really interesting because I feel like a lot of gender rhetoric is like, well, gender is, you know, something we know. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, I mean, you know it right now as it exists. And it's so interesting that we kind of think of it as biological in that sense, because it's like, buddy, drive like to another country and tell me what gender is now. You know what I mean? Or like, mm-hmm. I bet in like 50 years, it's going to be a completely different thing than it is now. And it's so interesting that so many people think of it as like the worst offense to be like, you know what, I actually don't agree with this gender dichotomy, or, you know, I don't think that masculine and feminine is as static as it is. And it's like, well, there's so many instances where people have questioned it, and it's not just like this new, like, oh, the woke left is coming. It's like people have been rejecting this binary and not even existing within a binary for so many fucking years. Like, oh, sorry about that. So many years, you know, like, and in so many different cultures. So it's really interesting to me that people think of it as like this new thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Robin?
I think more than anything, it is really complex. Because we have something that is both constructed, but also very viscerally understood in our bodies, mm. depending on the individuals that we are, you know? And I think that is something that makes it hard to kind of pin down in a way and, you know, say in a definitive sense, this is or this is not what it means to be a gender or not that gender. And I think it's also partly what makes it complicated to kind of grapple with and explain to people who may really identify with, you know, what their born sex and gender are versus those folks who, you know, might have some questions or their feelings don't add up and match up, right? And so I think that it's a really complicated and complex topic. In some ways, I do agree that it is completely a fluid thing, and the ways that we understand, you know, like I'm a lot older than Logan and Stella, and you know, I think back to music and artists in the 70s, and they were challenging. Not everybody, of course, but there was a lot of artists who were challenging gender norms and, you know, essentially kind of showing up in drag performance and those kinds of things. But it wasn't called that. And we didn't get nitpicky on the fact that someone was wearing lipstick when they were looking like a man. They were just wearing lipstick, and that was part of their stage show, right? And so the politics around it now, I think, are also part of how we're understanding the issue, but also conflating the issue into something that it's also not. And I don't know if what I just said helps us understand gender or just, you know, complicates it. But for me, it feels in some ways like a complex wrestling of these ideas, because we have what's socially pressured you know, and these norms and these conditionings and socializations that even though things are changing, you know, women still do 95% of the unseen labor, right? Mm-hmm. And the unpaid labor, you know, that is that still falls into gender roles, and it still falls into this category and categorization that it doesn't matter how many papers have been written and how much theory is out there. It's not changing as fast as how we're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. I think there is definitely something to be said for the intersection between biology and social pressures. I think I agree, it can definitely get complex and confusing because people can't fully disentangle what is coming from mm-hmm. biology and what is coming from external conditioning. And I think that it can be a little not dangerous, but definitely used for the wrong things sometimes when people reason for the gender roles we have by saying, oh, well, this relates back to our biology, so this is how things should be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people forget that biology and science itself is very much, you know, produced in a sense with this cultural understanding, mm-hmm. you know? So it doesn't just exist as this vacuum, you know, this place of a vacuum where there's a fact and that's all it is. Science, I'm not saying like don't believe science, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying more like you have to see science as something that is within its time, within its society. And so, you know, our understanding of even like sex as a category has changed a bit and is not as static as people assign it to be, where, you know, this whole idea of woman and man is, there is, it doesn't exist like that. There's intersex people, this whole understanding of woman itself, like all the categories that align with woman, like being a woman doesn't even, you know, truly exist. There is no woman that has all of the characteristics of, you know, the quote unquote, like, scientific woman. And so in that sense, it's not as like you are female, you are a woman, you are male, you are a man, like this gender and sex is like perfectly aligned. It's very much like when we think of science, we have to, I don't know, just I guess kind of relate it back to where we are in the moment, if that makes sense.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Sal.
Yeah, I like it.
There was an interesting exercise in a book that I was reading about feminine something or another.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good book.
And the exercise was to make a list of sort of qualities or traits or characteristics when you think of the word woman. And you think of yourself perhaps as woman versus those characteristics, traits, and qualities that you think of as feminine.
Oh.
And you know, how you might embody that feminineness. Because those two things are different. Right. And I think that that's part of, you know, where I see the complexity happen and, you know, how we get tangled up in this mess, because we think that because someone is woman, that they are going to automatically, or that they should be possessing these feminine qualities and these feminine traits, right? Which is where, when that gets turned upside down in terms of gender expression, where the it's like that's where the disenfranchisement sort of happens, right? It's like, no, these two things, like one plus one, they're adding up to three, and that doesn't make sense to me anymore. And so I think that there's this distinction between how we get to talk about what is feminine and what is masculine outside of what is woman and what is man. Because ideally, as a woman, regardless of what I call myself or how I show up in the world, I should be able to demonstrate and embody qualities and principles of both feminine and masculine in order to be effective and, if you know, effectual in the world. Because I can't do anything if I don't possess a certain number of masculine traits, right? Like, those are doer and active traits.
Yeah,
you know, like I wouldn't get the laundry done in my gender role as a woman if I didn't have masculine traits.
Yeah, like when you boil down womanhood, it's just passivity. Yeah, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny in that way where, you know, we do need to have these working side by side, but we want to really separate them in a way that doesn't serve us.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I was wondering, actually, like, how do you feel, like, Stella, Robin, how do you feel like you're still, like, connected to femininity, or how you feel like you've kind of shifted towards, like, more masculine roles? And by, you know, I think, I mean, at least for me, when we're talking about, like, masculine, feminine, it's very much, like, this socially prescribed idea, not saying that it's, you know, this essentialism of, like, being masculine is being strong. It's more like people perceive it, just to mm-hmm. be clear about that.
Like, for me, I think it's very much, like Logan said, it's the passivity of being not a woman, but feeling like feminine and then feeling passive is something I struggle with, or I have been struggling with for a bit, is just having the courage to speak up for myself, say what I believe, even if it might hurt somebody's feelings or step on somebody's toes.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It feels natural, but I know it is also socialized. Like, it feels natural to me that I don't want anyone to have a bad time or something because of me, or feel upset because of me, even though it might make myself suffer because of that. And I am working to try to combat that and just stand up for myself more, especially with men. But yeah, it's a journey. Yeah.
No wiser words have been spoken. It's a journey.
We can end it now, I think.
Yeah. In conclusion.
For me, I think that it's my, I don't want to call it a struggle, but it feels like a struggle sometimes. My aim, my goal is to be better at receiving. rather than being the giver all the time, and the doer, and you know, making things happen, and again, I think that that's, there's complexity around how I understand what that means and how it sort of plays out in me and how it's played out in my life. But to, you know, really feel like I can just be on the receiving end of things and sort of surrender to that, versus trying to sort of control the margins all the time of, you know, where I am in time and space and how things are going. And, you know, obviously that's more challenging in a public space, perhaps, but also in, you know, private space where your safety and security might be questioned because you have to be more on guard. And so, you know, it's easy to say these words and think about these concepts, but the reality of how we're living our lives really dictates sometimes, you know, how much we have to do or not do or give or receive, and how that's coming and who that's coming to and from, and what those relational dynamics are, because we all play a part in that. And sometimes it's based on gender, but sometimes it's just based on the roles that we can play in each other's lives, you know, that are outside of gender. Maybe this is a good time to take a song break.
Yeah.
28 minutes past the hour, so we've got half an hour left in the show, and a couple of songs on the playlist. What have you got for us, Logan?
I have something very good for all of you. So I have an all-female punk rock band. They're from San Francisco. They were formed in the 1980s. They're called Frightwig. I really love listening to them, especially good when you're walking down the street, a guy stares at you, and then you do like a disgusted, like mouth open, like glare at them. And this is the perfect song to listen to while you do that. I recommend to everyone out there. So, Frightwig, this is I Support You.